The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Amen. This morning, I want to read to you, actually, I can just quote it, but let me read it because I don't want you to think I'm making anything up. Let's open our Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And I want to read verses 8, 9, and 10. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. But you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Will a man rob God? Now, I don't want you to get nervous because this message is not a message about money, wealth, or possessions. This message is a message about your relationship with God and your faith in God and what you really believe about God. Amen. I believe we all, as New Covenant believers, we are living under grace. We're living under an unconditional covenant of grace. And when I say unconditional, God loves you unconditionally. Doesn't matter what you do or what you don't do. God still loves you. And so we're living under this unconditional covenant of grace. And we have to live under what we believe about this covenant. I believe God owns everything. I believe that those that take this passage and they bludgeon people over their heads and their hearts, they twist their arms, manipulate them to do something that God may not have anything to do with. I don't believe that's of God. Let me cut to the chase. In this church, under this leadership, I give you the freedom to tithe or not tithe because I know who God is. You see, I can't preach one thing and live another thing. So you have the freedom to tithe or not tithe. Remember, I said, God loves you unconditionally. God loves you as much as he loved Adam and Eve. What did God say to Adam and Eve? He said, the choice is yours. Of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. But the tree in the middle of the garden, you shall not eat of that tree. For in the day you do, you shall surely die. If God gave the first man and the woman the freedom to choose, how much more does he give every one of us the freedom to choose under the new covenant? But for every choice you make, there are consequences. And see, this is where I come in. My assignment is to bear witness to the truth. And that's my only motivation. But you know, God had been speaking this to me. This verse was resounding in my spirit over the last 2 weeks. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? And so that's what I want to talk to you about. But please notice, God did not ask, will a man steal from God? That was not the question. The question was, will a man rob God? Why? There's a difference between stealing and robbery. To steal simply means you unlawfully take property of another without consent or privilege. But when you rob, you unlawfully take property from another without consent or privilege, and you do it with violence and force. That makes it robbery. But God didn't say steal, he said robbery. But when I think about this, since God is so great, so powerful, who can inflict robbery on God? Who can inflict force and violence on God? I don't believe anybody can. So what is God saying through the prophet here? What is God saying through Malachi? God is saying, will a man defraud God? Will a man cheat God? That's what God is asking. Will a man defraud God? And why would it be fraud? How have we robbed you, they ask. Well, God says in tithes and offerings. How do you rob God with your tithes and your offerings? How's it fraud? How's it cheating God? Well, Leviticus tells us, Leviticus, the 30th chapter, verse 27, it says, the tithe of all the land, the seed of the land, and the fruit of the trees is the Lord's. It's holy unto him. What is Leviticus saying? God owns everything. Then the psalmist David said in Psalms 24, verse 1, that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and the world and all that dwell therein. What is God saying? This earth is mine and everything in this earth is mine. And we living here on this earth, we're breathing God's oxygen. We're availing ourselves of his blessings and his benefits. We're living in a place that's owned by God. So another way to look at tithes and offerings is that's your rent payment to God. Too many of us want to live rent-free, but the landlord says, will you try to defraud me? Will you cheat me? There are no free lunches in this world. That's what God is saying. Will a man rob God? But you say, in what way have we robbed you? God says you robbed me by not paying your tithes and your offerings, giving your offerings. Why do I say pay tithes? We must distinguish that we pay tithes, but we give offerings. The reason we pay tithes is because it doesn't belong to us. The same way you pay your electric bill, you pay your gas bill. You pay it because you don't own the natural gas. You don't own the electricity. And this is why you pay it. Since God owns everything, we pay tithes to God, but we give offerings. Because that's the part he says, I'm giving to you. So offerings is given out of what God has given me, but tithes belong to the Lord. Not paying your tithes and giving offerings, God says it's robbery. It is fraud. It's deceit. Why? Because you're knowingly making a misrepresentation of the truth. That's what a fraud is. Someone defrauds you because they know they're misrepresenting the truth. And so they deceive you in doing so. And God says his people were doing that to him. Huh? You know, not tithing is not about making excuses. You know, I've been in this thing a long time. I grew up in the church. And I've actually been a minister for 48, going on 49 years. And so I know a thing or two about giving to God and how it works. As a young boy, I remember my mother. My mother would have a sock with money in it. And she would hide it in her, they called them Brazils back then, not bras. And then she would separate money on the other side of her bra and said, that's God's money. She's teaching me that as a young boy. That belongs to God. So she was setting aside the tenth when God already said the tithe of all the land, the seed of the land, the fruit of the trees, it is the Lord's. It is holy unto me. The word holy means to be separated. And this is what my mother demonstrated to me as a young boy. You separate what belongs unto God. But I've heard all the excuses down to the ears. Let's just talk about a few. Not all of them, but just a few. Some people have actually said to me, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to tithe. I'm here to tell you, you can't afford not to tithe. How can you tell me you can't afford to give God something that's His? Now you've made yourself God. To say I can't afford to tithe is a form of idolatry because you're saying, God, I can't afford to give you what's yours. But I can afford to give it to myself. Isn't that idolatry? Or is that just ego? You're just edging God on out. Huh? Don't try that with your mortgage company or your landlord. They'll sit you out on the streets. When you tell them, I can't afford to pay my mortgage, I can't afford to pay my rent, they'll sit you out on the street. But we do that to God. So God asks the question, will a man defraud me? Will a man cheat me? Another excuse is, well, the amount is just too much. How many have heard that one? I don't want to give all that money to the church. What all money? Listen, don't be dumb as a rock. A tithe is a penny out of a dime. A penny. Penny. And some people drop pennies on the ground, don't even pick them up. It's a penny out of a dime. It's a dime out of a dollar. But you say, oh, that's too much. You got to be a real airhead to think like that. And see, that's the devil who's influencing you to be disobedient. It's the devil influencing you to get out of the will of God. Anybody that had 10 pennies in their hand probably would not struggle to give up one penny. It's the same if you gave a dime out of a dollar. It's the same if you gave a dollar out of 100. It's the same if you gave 100 out of 1,000. It's the same if you gave 100,000 out of 1,000,000. It's the same penny. But yet you say, oh, that amounts too much. That's an excuse. That's an excuse. And the enemy is using that excuse to keep you out of the will of God, to keep you from being blessed of the Lord. Another excuse is, well, people say, well, it's my employment situation, my financial situation. Tithing is not based on whether you're employed or unemployed. Tithing isn't based on if you have little or you have much. Tithing is based on honoring God for what is His and what He's done in your life. You don't need a job to tithe. You tithe on what you get. And I have watched how God has blessed me in my life, Joyce and I, and our children, through the obedience of tithing. All my children are very prosperous. When I say that, underscored. Underscored. All my children are very prosperous. You know why? Because they believe in this simple principle. I've watched them when they were between jobs, how they continued to honor God, and God would always open a door for them greater than the door they had before. See, my children are destined to be more than millionaires. And I'm going to get off of that because they're going to get on getting in their business. But you know, this old boy ain't doing too shabby himself. I was looking at my personal financial, you know, my assets and liabilities. And I cannot believe how God has blessed me. And you've never heard me beg for anything, you see? And most of you that have professional jobs, I assure you, your salary is a lot higher than mine. But that's not what it's based on. See, your blessing is not based on whether you have less than somebody else or whether they have more than you. It's based on your obedience to God. I am a blessed man. You see? You see, you can pull the plug on my salary today, and I'm still in good shape. And will be in good shape for a long time because I've honored God. You see? Yeah, that's right. Not only is the church debt-free, Joyce and I have been debt-free. That's right. And you might say, how you do it? We're just faithful to God. Just faithful to God. And I'm telling you, it's not based on employment or unemployment. It's not based on your financial situation, whether you say, I am poor or I am rich or I am poor, middle class, or lower middle class. Has nothing to do with that. This is all about God and recognizing what's His. Then some people use the excuse, I have too many bills. Don't raise your hands, but some perhaps you've said that. I can't tithe because I got too many bills. You know why you got too many bills? Because you've been dealing God from the bottom rather than dealing with God from the top of the heap. That's why you have too many bills. If you're going to keep God at the bottom, you're always going to have too many bills to honor God. But if you put God at the top, you always have God being first. And when you put God first, He'll never make you last. This is the only place in the Bible where God puts the onus on us and He says, prove me now, try me and see what I'll do. If I would not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. You're talking about you got too many bills. That's because you've been putting God last. You're always going to have too many bills if God's at the bottom of the pile. But when you put God first, you see, this is our practice. Joyce and I, our family, this is our practice. We honor God with the tithe off the top without considering what the obligations may be for the household. How can you put God last, and then when you have a problem, then you want Him to be first? I mean, that's counterintuitive. And see, I'm telling you, this is about your relationship with God. You know, of all of God's ordinances, His statutes, His commandments, throughout the Bible, the one thing and the one thing only that reveals the condition of your heart and your relationship with God, the quality of that relationship, is your obedience and paying tithes and giving offering. That is the litmus test. You can shout all you want. You can speak in tongues all you want. But you're just an empty wagon making a lot of noise. What did Jesus say? In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Jesus connected the heart of man with that which he treasures. Where your treasure is, in other words, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Now, the evidence of this, just when you go home today, look at your checkbook register and see how your money been going out and to where it's been going out, and you'll see where your heart is. Now, I didn't say this. Jesus did. That's where your treasure is. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. That which you treasure, your heart is always near and dear. Jesus connected the condition of the heart of man with his or her treasure. Then in verse 24, he said, no man can serve two masters. You either hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and you will despise the other. No man can serve God and mammon. No man can serve God and money and wealth. You can't serve both. And when you put God last, when you put him second, third, or whatever, when you refuse and put him first, you're saying, Lord, this is what I serve. I serve my money, my wealth, and my possession. I really don't serve you. I only serve you in name, in words, but not in heart. But why call him Lord, Lord, and do not the things he say? Now, what you need to understand that because this is about your relationship, it's about the heart. And we live under unconditional covenant grace. Every one of us need to make our peace with God. The same way you make your peace with God when you're struggling with some private issue. Maybe you got some sin gnawing at your life, just gnawing at your soul. And you can't get over that thing. And you thought you was over it and you fell back in it. You're still struggling with it. You're still facing temptation, tests and trials. You talk about that to God in your private time. That's between you and God. You don't stand out in the marketplace and announce to the world, I'm struggling with lust. You don't do that. So when it comes to honoring God with tithes and offerings, and you have a struggle or issue you're going through, maybe deep down in your heart you're saying, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. You just can't see your way clear because you feel like you have too many bills. Or you feel like I just can't afford to tithe. Or you feel like my money situation ain't right. My employment ain't right. My finances ain't right. I'll tithe when I get my ends together. That needs to be a conversation between you and God, not between you and the man or woman that stands behind the sacred desk. Our assignment is to proclaim the truth, not make anybody do anything. That's not my assignment. I could care less if you tithe or not. And the only thing I do care about, those in leadership. Joyce and I had the conversation on the way to church. I said, you're getting all up in my message. She didn't know what I was preaching about today. You're getting all up in my message. How are you going to be, to lead means to be out front. How are you going to be out front leading other folks when you got sin in your life and they're trying to live holy? How are you going to be out front leading tithers when you're struggling with tithing? You see, you're trying to fake it till you make it. You're not really being real. And you got to go back to my premise when I said this is about your relationship with God. But why won't pride allow us to take a step back? Why won't pride allow us to just sit down until we can be made whole? Physician, heal yourself. And you're trying to lead other folk. Where are you going to lead them to? You can't lead anybody to some place that you haven't gone or you're unwilling to go yourself. Proverbs 23, verse 23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. We must buy the truth. Too many of us have settled on our leads as Christians. We are at ease in Zion and we stopped buying the truth, but instead we decided that we would buy the lie. What is the lie? We buy into the lie that tithing was only under the law. Oh, what a good excuse. I don't believe in all that tithing stuff. It was under the law. No, beloved, listen to me. By the truth, tithing is an eternal principle. And it's based on tithing to our high priest, like Melchizedek, after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is Melchizedek of the Old Testament. You see, under the what the Bible shows, the truth, is tithing was before the law. It was during the law, and it was after, and it is after the law. So tithing goes between Genesis chapter 14, when Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, to Hebrews chapter 7, where we are urged to tithe to one like Melchizedek who lives forevermore. And what is his name? His name is Jesus. Don't buy that lie. You want to buy the truth. If you keep buying the lie, you begin to live the lie. You begin to speak the lie. And I'll tell you what my dad, I say, you always hear my daddy say as a young boy. My daddy used to say, if you lie, you'll steal. Did you hear that? If you lie, you'll steal. And I'm saying to you, if you believe the lie that tithing was only under the law, no wonder God says to you, will a man rob God? Huh? I remember a story one time. This is a true story. When the Lord sent me to Toledo, Ohio, this great man of God, he agreed to take me downtown and introduce me to the county sheriff, because he just thought that they would hire me in the jail system as a counselor or whatever. And this man was Reverend Dr. H.V. Savage, great man of God. A man that's known for feeding thousands of poor people. In fact, his work was so renowned that several universities in this country bestowed upon him an honorary doctorate degree. Now, my father was on Dr. Savage's board. And so there was a little nexus, a little relationship going there. So he said, let me take you down. Brother Jerry, I want you to meet the sheriff. I know he got something for you. And so he said, I want you to ride with me. And as we were getting in his van, he drove a van, I saw that his suit jacket shift, and I saw a handgun in the waist between his belt. So I asked him, I said, Dr. Savage, why you carry a gun? He looked at me and said, there are folk in my church that don't tithe. And if they rob God, they'll try to rob me.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.